Chapter 11, The Work in Specific Cities. Cities in North America. Work in America to be enlarged. I wish to tell you, my dear friends, that the work here in America is to be greatly enlarged. So many times there is presented before me the work which ought to have been done in America, but which has not been done, that my soul is very heavily burdened. City after city should have been worked, and if this had been faithfully done, there would have been brought into the truth those who could have gone forth to win other souls to Christ. In every city there should be memorials for God. But the way in which the work has been managed has resulted in a depleted treasury. The lack of effort to plant the standard of truth in the cities of America has brought about a condition of things in which the consuming is larger than the producing, and how the work shall now be carried forward is a difficult problem. Northeastern cities. Cities impacted by 1844 movement to be worked again. Instruction has been given me that the message should go again with power in the cities in the eastern states. In many of the large cities of the East, the first and second angels' messages were proclaimed during the 1844 movement. To us, as God's servants, has been entrusted the third angel's message, the binding off message, that is to prepare a people for the coming of the King. We are to make every effort to give a knowledge of the truth to all who will hear, and there are many who will listen. All through the large cities God has honest souls who are interested in what is truth. 1909. Third angel's message to be proclaimed in cities of the Northeast. All these cities of the East where the first and the second angel's messages were proclaimed with power, and where the third angel's message was preached in the early days of our history as a separate, peculiar people, must now be worked anew. There is Portland, Maine, there is Boston, and all the many towns round about, there is New York City, and the populous cities close by, there is Philadelphia and Baltimore and Washington. I need not enumerate all these places, you know where they are. The Lord desires us to proclaim the third angel's message with power in these cities. We cannot exercise this power ourselves. All we can do is to choose men of capability, and urge them to go into these avenues of opportunity, and there proclaim the message in the power of the Holy Spirit. Church members in the West to support evangelism in the East. As we labor faithfully in our neighborhoods and in the towns close by, and as we bear a decided message in the great cities of our land, we shall see of the salvation of God. The truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth in the cities of the East, and our brethren in the West now have the privilege of advancing the cause of God in that portion of the field where the third angel's message was first proclaimed. Boston, Massachusetts. Work should include Boston. I am instructed that Boston must be worked, and I know that the possession of this sanitarium site is one of the greatest blessings that could come to our work in the eastern states. Thousands in Boston waiting to hear the truth. I feel a deep anxiety that Boston shall hear the word of the Lord and the reasons of our faith. Ask the Lord to raise up laborers to enter the field. There are thousands in Boston craving for the simple truth as it is in Jesus. 1908. Message to go with power. If in the city of Boston and other cities of the East, you, Dr. Daniel H. Kress, and your wife will unite in medical evangelistic work, your usefulness will increase, and there will open before you clear views of duty. In these cities the message of the first angel went with great power in 1842 and 1843, and now the time has come when the message of the third angel is to be proclaimed extensively in the East. There is a grand work before our eastern sanitariums. The message is to go with power as the work closes up. Medical work to be done in Boston and other New England cities. When the New England Sanitarium was removed from South Lancaster, Massachusetts, to Melrose, Massachusetts, the Lord instructed me that this was in the order of His opening providence. The buildings and grounds at Melrose are of a character to recommend our medical missionary work, which is to be carried forward not only in Boston, but in many other unworked cities in New England. The Melrose property is such that conveniences can be provided that will draw to that sanitarium persons not of our faith. The aristocratic as well as the common people will visit that institution to avail themselves of the advantages offered for restoration of health. Boston has been pointed out to me repeatedly as a place that must be faithfully worked. The light must shine in the outskirts and in the inmost parts. The Melrose Sanitarium is one of the greatest agencies that can be employed to reach Boston with the truth. The city and its suburbs must hear the last message of mercy to be given to our world. Tent meetings must be held in many places. The workers must put to the very best use the abilities God has given them. The gifts of grace will increase by wide use. But there must be no self-exaltation. No precise lines are to be laid down. Let the Holy Spirit direct the workers. They are to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. The work for this great city will be signalized by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, if all will walk humbly with God. We hope that those in charge of the work in New England will cooperate with the Melrose Sanitarium managers in taking aggressive steps to do the work that should be done in Boston. 100 workers could be laboring to advantage in different portions of the city, in varied lines of service. 1908. New York City. New York businessmen to be given the message. You should feel a decided responsibility for the working of New York City. The men in the business houses of New York and other large cities, as verily as the heathen in foreign lands, must be reached with the message. The enemy would be rejoiced to see the grand, saving truth for this time confined to a few places. He is not inactive. He is instilling into the minds of men his deceptive theories to blind their eyes and confuse their understanding, that the saving truth may not be brought to their knowledge. Soon the Sunday laws will be enforced, and men in positions of trust will be embittered against the little handful of God's commandment-keeping people. Sanitarium and school needed near New York City and other cities. We need a sanitarium and a school in the vicinity of New York City, and the longer the delay in the securing of these, the more difficult it will become. It would be well to secure a place as a home for our mission workers outside of the city. It is of great importance that they have the advantages of pure water, free from all contamination. For this reason, it is often well to consider the advantages of locations among the hills. A place in the city should also be secured where simple treatments might be administered. Let such homes be secured in the neighborhood of several cities, and earnest, determined efforts be put forth by capable men to give in these cities the warning message that is to go to all the world. We have only touched, as it were, a few of the cities. Important to establish medical missionary work. To start medical missionary work in New York will be the best thing that you, Elder and Mrs. Stephen and Haskell, can do. I have been shown that if in this work there could be men and women of experience, who would give a correct representation of true medical missionary work, it would have great power in making a correct impression on the people. Workers needed, restaurants to be established. While in New York in the winter of 1901, I received light in regard to the work in that great city. Night after night the course that our brethren should pursue passed before me. In greater New York the message is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. God will raise up laborers for this work, and his angels will go before them. Though our large cities are fast reaching a condition similar to the condition of the world before the flood, though they are as Sodom for wickedness, yet there are in them many honest souls, who, as they listen to the startling truths of the Advent message, will feel the conviction of the Spirit. New York is ready to be worked. In that great city the message of truth will be given with the power of God. The Lord calls for workmen. He calls upon those who have gained an experience in the cause to take up and carry forward in his sphere the work to be done in New York and in other large cities of America. He calls also for means to be used in this work. It was presented to me that we should not rest satisfied because we have a vegetarian restaurant in Brooklyn, but that others should be established in other sections of the city. The people living in one part of Greater New York do not know what is going on in other parts of that great city. Men and women who eat at the restaurants established in different places will become conscious of an improvement in health. Their confidence once gained, they will be more ready to accept God's special message of truth. 1902. Honest-hearted people in city need to be reached. And there is New York, that great and wicked city. Who has carried the burden for that field? Who has felt the necessity of denying self that the work in that city may be carried forward? It is indeed a wicked city, but God had a lot in Sodom, and He has a people in New York, who, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, are panting after the pure waters of Lebanon. New York is ready to be worked. When I was last there, just before leaving this country for Australia, the Lord showed me that His work should be established in New York. He showed me what could be done there if everyone would come up to His help. The power of God is to carry the truth in this city. There is not a dearth of means among our people any more than there has been in the past. There is certainly not a dearth of means among our people in California. But in spite of this, the great field of New York is left untouched, while week after week, a large congregation meets here in the Battle Creek Tabernacle. The people ought to feel that the rebuke of God rests upon them because they are not working for Him in places which know not the truth. If they had the spirit of the Pilgrim Fathers, they would go forth to work for God in the waste places of the earth. Borrow funds at interest rather than stop the work. Rather than have the work in New York interrupted, I would hire, i.e., borrow, money and pay interest on it, in order to carry the work forward. Thousands waiting to hear the message. In New York there are many who are ripe for the harvest. In this great city there are thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. The angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." New York contains a part of the all people. We desire to see the new year open with teachers at work in all parts of New York. There is a work to be done in this city, a work that ought to have been done 12 years ago. It was not done, and why? Because men and women were not awake to the importance of the time in which we are living. They were unprepared to do the work that needed to be done. Those who were unconverted in regard to health reform could not work in God's order. Therefore it is that in 1901 there is a dearth of workers. Portion in multi-ethnic work to be conducted. In New York City, in Chicago, and in other great centers of population, there is a large foreign element, multitudes of various nationalities, and all practically unwarned. Among Seventh-day Adventists there is a great zeal, and I am not saying there is any too much, to work in foreign countries. But it would be pleasing to God if a proportionate zeal were manifested to work the cities close by. His people need to move sensibly. They need to set about this work in the cities with serious earnestness. Men of consecration and talent are to be sent into these cities and set to work. Many classes of laborers are to unite in conducting these efforts to warn the people. Work New York City now, utilizing various methods. The best time to work New York City is now, the present now, and let the path be made as straight as possible for the work to be done. And at the same time let all be interested in every interest created in adjoining localities. The work in Greater New York is to be carried on in a way that will properly represent the sacredness and holiness of the truth of God. Vegetarian restaurants, treatment rooms, and cooking schools are to be established. The people are to be taught how to prepare wholesome food. They are to be shown the need of discarding tea, coffee, and flesh meat. Greater New York must stand in a different relation to the General Conference than the surrounding territory and interests which are different, and will have to be considered in a different light as far as missionary work is concerned. Greater New York is a world of itself, and should have in some respects different management from that of the surrounding localities. God has His appointed agencies for the enlargement of our circle of influence, and for the increasing of the number of workers who will be missionaries indeed, laborers for the saving of the souls of their fellow men. Those should set no boundaries to limit the sphere of their labors. The Christian Church will ever meditate advance moves, it will ever be educating workers for further conquests for Christ. It should ever be moving on and on, that the truth may extend to all parts of the globe. The Lord would have had New York with all its surrounding localities and cities worked many years ago, and now that the opportunity is more plainly revealed, in all localities, in every church, hearts should be drawn out and connected with the progress of the gospel message. In all the neglected parts of the vineyard, hearts should be thrilled with a genuine, living experience, and now that there is a great work started, no one must fold his hands, but all must regard with interest every movement of the church. The churches now in different parts of Greater New York are to feel their sacred, God-given responsibilities. The word of the Lord is for this wide missionary field to be faithfully worked, and every vestige of criticism and fault-finding and separating of brethren to cease. The prejudices, their thinking and speaking evil, are to be put away. God will not tolerate any longer the spirit that has been controlling matters in our New York churches. The fields here are ready for harvest. In whatever direction we look, our brethren must do their appointed work, which stretches to a large, unmeasured circumference. Those who would cherish and foster prejudice are not to be listened to. The work is to go forward under the direction of God, and those who wish to keep up the spirit of dissension should take themselves out of the way, and let God's work move onward. 1903. Nearby cities, Trenton and Brooklyn, to be worked. I am deeply impressed that Trenton, New Jersey, will be a central interest, as well as Brooklyn, New York, and still other localities outside the city of New York. We see indeed the fields in every direction in and outside of New York to be worked. There should be a hall secured to call the people together in New York City, and from surrounding localities out of New York City. God now wants our cities to be worked through the endowed, sanctified influences brought to bear upon the human mind. Transformation of one human mind means, if God's will is carried out, the transformation of many human minds. None of us liveth to himself. None of us planneth to obtain glory to himself. The Lord gave Christ to our world, and with Christ he withheld nothing that could aid man in his humanity. When the organized church has withheld nothing of its entrusted talents and influence, when the Lord gave Christ, and then called for man to put that power and influence under the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit to crown his work with success, to make their combined work a signal success, should man fail on his part. What does the Church propose to do in Christian instrumentality for the conversion of the world? The Lord calls for his memorials to be established in every city. There must be in every city the work which must be taken up to diffuse the influence of the truth, which has a sanctifying power upon those who hear and will respond. Mid-Atlantic cities. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Evangelists to work where religious issues agitate citizens. Philadelphia and other important places should be worked. Evangelists should be finding their way into all the places where the minds of men are agitated over the question of Sunday legislation and of the teaching of religion in the public schools. It is the neglect of Seventh-day Adventists to improve these providential opportunities to present the truth that burdens my heart and keeps me awake night after night. Working under Holy Spirit's guidance brings results. We should be pleased to see special work done in Philadelphia and in Boston. Many souls will be converted if men and women will do the personal work that needs to be done. By means of workers who labor under the influence of the Holy Spirit, many souls will be brought to a knowledge of the truth. Washington, D.C. few in capital of United States have been warned. I have been writing much in regard to the need of making more decided efforts in Washington, D.C. Light has been given me that something should be done in this city at once. How strange it is that at the very heart of the nation so little has been done to represent the loyalty of the people of God. To us has been given the grandest truth ever committed to mortals. Washington, the capital of the United States, is the very place from which this truth should shine forth. But what has been done there to proclaim the truth? What excuse can we give to God for our unfaithful stewardship? Workers not to be relocated during evangelistic meetings. A strong evangelistic effort must be put forth in the capital of the nation. I rejoice that you, Elder W.W. Prescott, have taken up this evangelistic work in Washington, and that so deep an interest has already been aroused. The accounts given regarding the work there correspond as nearly as possible to the representation given me of what would be. I am sure, for the matter has been presented to me, and this work must not be weakened by the necessary laborers being called to other places. Evangelistic work must be done in Washington, and it must not be broken into by calls from other places. God would have His work in the highways carried forward in straight lines. You are where the Lord would have you. Elder A. G. Daniels and yourself must not be loaded down with a great many burdens. Washington has been neglected long enough. A decided work must now be done there. The Lord will give strength and grace. The workers must not allow themselves to be diverted from the work by the many things that will be sure to press for attention. This is the reason that I have felt anxious that every talent of the workers in Washington shall be used in a way that will best advance His work. Personal work needed in the cities. I call upon the believers in Washington to come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty powers of darkness. Personal labor will be needed in this city and its suburbs. Clear the King's highway. Lift up the standard higher and still higher. There is evangelistic work to be done in Washington and Baltimore and in the many other large cities of the South and the East. Let the work of teaching and healing be combined. Let ministers and medical missionaries put on the whole armor of God and go forth to proclaim the gospel message. A decided message is to be proclaimed in Washington. The trumpet is to be given a certain sound. Tacoma Park, Washington, D.C. The General Conference was located in Tacoma Park, a suburb of Washington, D.C. From 1904 to 1989, the Review and Herald Publishing Association was located there from 1906 to. Donations to help support workers near Washington, D.C. We plead that those settled in Tacoma Park shall become laborers together with God in planting the standard of truth in unworked territories. Let a part of the large donations called for be used to furnish workers in our cities close by Washington. Let faithful house-to-house work be done. Souls are perishing out of the ark of safety. Let the standard of truth be lifted up by the church members in their neighborhoods. Let ministers pitch their tent, and preach the truth to the people with power, and then move to another vicinity and preach the truth there. Area around Washington, D.C., to be worked. Last Sunday we took a long drive through the district immediately adjoining our land, Tacoma Park. Sister Daniels was with us, and she showed us the settlements of people nearest our land. We were very much pleased with the appearance of these settlements. The houses are neat and comfortable and are surrounded with pretty yards. The places that we saw reminded me of what we saw when we first visited Oakland and San Francisco. Then Oakland was not nearly as large as it is now. It was called San Francisco's bedroom, because so many of the businessmen working in San Francisco had homes in Oakland. Tacoma Park might properly be called one of Washington's bedrooms. A great many businessmen live here, going to their work in the city each morning and returning at night to the quiet and retreat of the country. I am so thankful that our work is to be established in this place. Were Christ here upon the ground, He would say to us, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We have a work to do in leading precious souls onward step by step. My hopes for this place are high, as they have been in the past when I have entered new fields. The country for miles and miles around Washington is to be worked. We will not talk of what might have been done had the money spent in a few places been used in establishing memorials for God where such memorials are greatly needed. We will turn to the present. We want to present the truth in love and faith and hope and courage. We fully believe that the Lord has gone before us in the purchase of this land, and we shall do all in our power to carry out His will in the establishment of His work in this place. We shall need young people of the very best talent in our work in Washington. The message must be proclaimed in Washington, and must go forth from that place to the other cities of the South. Last Sabbath I spoke in the Tacoma Hall, which was well filled. I spoke from the 15th chapter of John, and my own soul was refreshed as I dwelt upon this important subject. A number of the citizens were present, and the owner of the hall was there also. On Sunday I spoke in the M Street Memorial Church to the company of workers who have gathered in Washington to hold tent meetings and to do Bible work. My heart is filled with a longing desire that all who connect with this important work shall themselves have a daily experience in the things of God, that they may fill the place assigned Him in the way that will win the Lord's approval. They are to be thorough in all that they do. On this point we cannot be too urgent. A great interest should be shown by our people in America in the extension of the Lord's work. They should feel a deep sense of grief and humiliation as they think that the cities that have been kept before them for the last 25 years have not yet heard the message of present truth. There are heathen, as it were, right in our borders, in our large cities. But who has a burden for these unwarned ones? Who is willing to invest his means in the work of enlightening them? Midwestern cities. Chicago, Illinois. Chicago to be worked from rural location. For the present, some will be obliged to labor in Chicago, but these should be preparing working centers in rural districts, from which to work the city. The Lord would have His people looking about them, and securing humble, inexpensive places as centers for their work. And from time to time larger places will come to their notice, which they will be able to secure at a surprisingly low price. Ethnic work to be conducted in all large cities. We drove out to see the newly established Swedish mission on Oak Street, in Chicago. There we were shown a building which our Swedish brethren, under the leadership of Elder S. Mortensen, have recently purchased for the headquarters of their work in Chicago. The building presents a good appearance. In the basement they have a well-equipped vegetarian restaurant. On the first floor there is a pleasant, commodious hall for meetings, comfortably seated for a congregation of about 150, and the two upper stories are rented to lodgers. I was indeed glad to see this evidence of progress in the Swedish work in Chicago. There is a great work to be done for the people of all nations in the large cities in America, and such rallying points as this may be a great help in the matter of gaining the attention of the people, and in the training of workers. In every large city in America there are people of different nationalities, who must hear the message for this time. I long to see evidence that the lines of work which the Lord has marked out are being disinterestedly taken up. A work similar to that which is being done in Chicago for the Swedish people should be done in many places. Caution regarding buying property in cities. Scenes that would soon take place in Chicago and other large cities also passed before me. As wickedness increased and the protecting power of God was withdrawn, there were destructive winds and tempests. Buildings were destroyed by fire and shaken down by earthquakes. Some time after this I was shown that the vision of buildings in Chicago and the draft upon the means of our people to erect them, and their destruction, was an object lesson for our people, warning them not to invest largely of their means in property in Chicago, or any other city, Unless the providence of God should positively open the way and plainly point out duty to build or buy as necessary in giving the note of warning. A similar caution was given in regard to building in Los Angeles. Repeatedly, I have been instructed that we must not invest means in the erection of expensive buildings in cities. Gospel to be clearly presented in localities outside Chicago. I have been given a representation of the preaching of the word of truth with clearness and power in many places where it has never yet been heard. The Lord would have the people warned, for a great work will be done in a short time. I have heard the word of God proclaimed in many localities outside the city of Chicago. There were many voices proclaiming the truth with great power. That which they proclaimed was not fanciful theories, but the warning message. While the solid truth of the Bible came from the lips of men who had no fanciful theories or misleading science to present, there were others who labored with all their power to bring in false theories regarding God and Christ. And miracles were wrought, to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Denver, Colorado. Despite challenges, work to be done in Denver. As the matter is laid open before me, I see that there is need of substantial work being done in Denver. In the past, many things have worked against the prosperity of the work there, and this unfavorable influence is not yet entirely removed. Southern cities. Nashville, Tennessee. Message to be conducted in simplicity. For the work in and about Nashville, we should do all we can to put it on a solid basis. The work should be conducted with simplicity, and in a way that will recommend the truth. There are many places in the South open to our work, but by all means let us make a beginning in the important cities, and carry the message now. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. 1908. New Orleans, Louisiana. Workers to have best interest of work at heart. New Orleans is to be worked. At a proper time of the year a public effort is to be made there. Camp meetings are to be held in many places, and evangelistic work is to be done after the camp meeting is over. Thus the sheaves are to be gathered in. Now that the work in New Orleans is to be more fully entered upon, I am bidden to say, let men and women who have a knowledge of the truth, and understand the way of the Lord, enter this city to work with wisdom and in the fear of the Lord. The laborers who are chosen for the work in New Orleans should be those who have the good of the cause at heart, men who will keep the glory of God always in view, and who will make the strength of the God of Israel their front guard and their rearward. The Lord will certainly hear and answer the prayers of His workers if they will seek Him for counsel and instruction. Go work the cities instead of criticizing those already working there. The Lord God has been at work. My brethren, instead of criticizing what has been done, save your speech for the great cities that have not yet been worked, such as New Orleans, Memphis, and St. Louis. Go to these places and labor for the people, but do not speak a word of censure regarding those who have tried so hard to do everything in their power for the advancement of the work. Sometimes these workers would be almost discouraged, but we kept praying for them. Wherever I was, I would ask the prayers of God's people in their behalf. Western cities. California cities. Focus energies on upbuilding cause of God. In my last vision I was shown that we should have a part to act in California in extending and confirming the work already commenced. I was shown that missionary labor must be put forth in California, Australia, Oregon, and other territories far more extensively than our people have imagined, or ever contemplated and planned. I was shown that we do not at the present time move as fast as the opening providence of God leads the way. I was shown that the present truth might be a power in California if the believers in the message would give no place to the enemy in unbelief and selfishness, but would concentrate their efforts to one object, the upbuilding of the cause of present truth. 1874, 1915. Ministers need to realize God's call to evangelize cities in California. Shall we not do all in our power to establish the work in the great cities of San Francisco and Oakland, and in all the other cities of California? Thousands upon thousands who live in the cities close by us need help in various ways. Let the ministers of the gospel realize that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." Redlands and other Southern California cities to be worked. Years ago, many places in Southern California were presented to me as very important fields, needing earnest labor. While at Redlands, I recognized it as one of these places. Light was given me that the unworked condition of the cities of Southern California is a dishonor to those who know the truth. Recently, Elder William Ward Simpson held tent meetings in Redlands, as a result of which many new members were added to the church. For this we praise the Lord. But there is still much to be done in Redlands. We need now to put forth earnest efforts in the cities of Southern California. Restaurants and treatment rooms to be established in tourist resort cities. When in Los Angeles, I was instructed that not only in various sections of that city, but in San Diego and in other tourist resorts of Southern California, health restaurants and treatment rooms should be established. Our efforts in these lines should include the great seaside resorts. As the voice of John the Baptist was heard in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," so must the voice of the Lord's messengers be heard in the great tourist and seaside resorts. 1902. All sections of San Francisco and Oakland need to be evangelized. There is a work to be done in California, a work that has been strangely neglected. Let this work be delayed no longer. As doors open for the presentation of truth, let us be ready to enter. Some work has been done in the large city of San Francisco, but as we study the field, we see plainly that only a beginning has been made. As soon as possible, well-organized efforts should be put forth in different sections of this city and also in Oakland. The wickedness of San Francisco is not realized. Our work in this city must broaden and deepen. God sees in it many souls to be saved. 1902. God's work in San Francisco to broaden and deepen. It would be difficult to describe my feelings as I stood before the San Francisco Church, Sabbath, November 10, 1900, and looked over the large congregation. My mind went back to the time, 24 years ago, when my husband and I were planning for the building of a house of worship in San Francisco. Some, when they saw the plan, said, "It is too large. The house will never be filled." At the same time, we were erecting the first building of the Pacific Press and the meeting house in Oakland. How great was the anxiety felt, and how earnest the prayers offered to God that He would open the way for the advancement of these enterprises. At that time, I dreamed that I saw two beehives, one in San Francisco and one in Oakland. In the hive in Oakland, the bees were diligently at work. Then I looked at the hive in San Francisco, and saw very little being done. The hive in Oakland seemed to be far the more promising. After a time, my attention was again called to the hive in San Francisco, and I saw that an entire change had taken place. Great activity was seen among the bees. They were earnestly at work. When I related this dream, it was interpreted to mean that in San Francisco there was a great work to be done. We prayed much in regard to the necessities of the cause and the meaning of the dream, and resolved to venture out in accordance with the light given. My husband and I decided to sell our property in Battle Creek, that we might use the proceeds in this work. This was done, and we helped to build the churches in Oakland and San Francisco. And the Lord revealed to us that although at first the work in San Francisco would move slowly, yet it would make steady advancement, and San Francisco would become a great center. The Lord would inspire men by His Holy Spirit to carry forward the work with faith and courage and perseverance. When we entered the San Francisco Church Sabbath morning, we found it crowded to its utmost capacity. As I stood before the people, I thought of the dream and the instruction which had been given me so many years ago, and I was much encouraged. Looking at the people assembled, I felt that I could indeed say, "The Lord has fulfilled His word." After I had finished speaking, all who wished to give themselves to the Lord in solemn consecration were invited to come forward. To this invitation 200 persons responded. We earnestly hope that the steps taken in the future in the work in San Francisco will still be steps of progress. The work that has been done there is but a beginning. San Francisco is a world in itself, and the Lord's work there is to broaden and deepen. There is a great work to be done in San Francisco and Oakland. The Lord will use humble men in these great cities. There are men and women whom the Lord, through peculiar circumstances, will bring to the front in His work. Canada. Toronto. Toronto to be worked. My heart aches as I see the work needed to be done and no one to do it. We ought to fast and pray that the Lord will raise up laborers to go into the harvest field. What shall we do for workers? Elder Daniel T. Bordeaux says Toronto is an excellent field in which to labor. There are some choice souls cut upon the truth. Someone should be sent into this field. Cities outside North America. Message to be translated so all nations can receive the truth. A great work is committed to those who present the truth in Europe. There are France and Germany, with their great cities and teeming population. There are Italy, Spain, and Portugal, after so many centuries of darkness, open to the Word of God, open to receive the last message of warning to the world. There are Holland, Austria, Romania, Turkey, Greece, and Russia, the home of millions upon millions, whose souls are as precious in the sight of God as our own, who know nothing of the special truths for this time. A good work has already been done in these countries. There are those who have received the truth, scattered as light bearers in almost every land. But how little has been done in comparison with the great work before us. Angels of God are moving upon the minds of the people, and preparing them to receive the warning. Missionaries are needed in fields that have yet been scarcely entered. New fields are constantly opening. The truth must be translated into different languages, that all nations may enjoy its pure, life-giving influences. Colporteurs are meeting with encouraging success in the sale of our books. The light is thus brought to the people, while the colporteur, who in many cases has been thrown out of employment by accepting the truth, is enabled to support himself, and the sales are a financial help to the office. In the days of the Reformation, monks who had left their convents, and who had no other means of support, traversed the country, selling Luther's works, which were thus rapidly circulated throughout Europe. Colportage work was one of the most efficient means of spreading the light then, and so it will prove now. Some countries easier to work than others. Certain countries have advantages that mark them as centers of education and influence. In the English-speaking nations and the Protestant nations of Europe, it is comparatively easy to find access to the people, and there are many advantages for establishing institutions and carrying forward our work. In some other lands, such as India and China, the workers must go through a long course of education before the people can understand them, or they the people. And at every step there are great difficulties to be encountered in the work. In America, Australia, England, and some other European countries, many of these impediments do not exist. America has many institutions to give character to the work. Similar facilities should be furnished for England, Australia, Germany, and Scandinavia, and other continental countries as the work advances. In these countries the Lord has able workmen, laborers of experience. These can lead out in the establishment of institutions, the training of workers, and the carrying forward of the work in its different lines. God designs that they shall be furnished with means and facilities. The institutions established would give character to the work in these countries, and would give opportunity for the training of workers for the darker heathen nations. In this way, the efficiency of our experienced workers would be multiplied a hundredfold. 1900. Australasia. Cities of Australasia to be worked. Repeatedly during the last 5 years, it has been presented to me that a great work is to be done in the cities of Australasia, that the present is a favorable time to work, and that no time should be lost, and recently light has come to me, encouraging us to put forth greater efforts in Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane, and indicating that the time has come for us to enter Newcastle and its surrounding towns. Several small companies were presented to me, and with them two larger companies that were stretching out their hands imploringly, saying, "Come over, and help us. We are starving for the bread of life." Health evangelism work to be leading edge in Australia. The medical missionary work promises to do more in Australia than it has in America to open the way for the truth to gain access to the people. May the Lord's people now heed the invitations of God's opening providence, and realize that it is an opportune time to work. Health institutions provide character to work in new fields. At our meetings in Australia, lectures on health subjects were given daily, and a deep interest was aroused. A tent for the use of physicians and nurses was on the ground, medical advice was given freely, and was sought by many. Thousands of people attended the lectures, and at the close of the camp meeting the people were not satisfied to let the matter drop with what they had already learned. In several cities where camp meetings were held, some of the leading citizens urged that a branch sanitarium be established, promising their cooperation. In several cities the work has been started, with good success. A health institution, rightly conducted, gives character to our work in new fields. And not only is it a benefit to the people, but the workers connected with it can be a help to the laborers in evangelistic lines. In every city where we have a church, there is need of a place where treatment can be given. Among the homes of our church members, there are few that afford room and facilities for the proper care of the sick. A place should be provided where treatment may be given for common ailments. The building might be inelegant and even rude, but it should be furnished with facilities for giving simple treatments. These, skillfully employed, would prove a blessing not only to our people, but to their neighbors, and might be the means of calling the attention of many to health principles. 1900. Work to radiate to many lands from Australia. In their efforts to carry forward the work on solid lines and to enter new territory, our brethren and sisters in Australasia have made gifts and loans to the utmost of their ability. In times of great stress, the Lord has moved upon men and women both in Australasia and in America to acknowledge their stewardship by advancing means to help in establishing the institutions being built there. Those who have come to the help of the Lord in this way have been laying up treasure beside the throne of God. Notwithstanding the dearth of means, much has been accomplished by the laborers in Australasia. Stern battles have been fought. Nothing but the miracle-working power of God has accomplished the work that has been done. We saw His power as we advanced from point to point, and we praise Him with heart and soul and voice. Oh, how we appreciated the loving kindness of our God as He led us on step by step. Australasia is a divinely appointed center, from which the light of present truth is to radiate to many lands. There comes to us from far-off lands the cry, "Come over and help us." Some of these unentered, unenlightened fields are not too easily reached, and perhaps not so ready to receive the light, as the fields within our sight, but they must not be neglected. We are to push the triumphs of the cross. Our watchword is to be, "Onward, ever onward." Our burden for the regions beyond can never be laid down until the whole earth shall be lightened with the glory of the Lord. Melbourne, Australia. People living in Australian cities to be warned. Our third Australian camp meeting was held in Armidale, a populous suburb of Melbourne, about 3 miles southeast from the center of the city. During the early part of the year, our brethren had planned for the meeting to be held in Ballarat, a city of 30,000 people, about 90 miles north from Melbourne. There is a faithful little church there that needed strengthening, and as the Australian Conference is in debt, it seemed desirable to hold the meeting where it would be less expensive than in Melbourne. But the Lord has been giving me light about the work to be done in our large cities. The people in the cities are to be warned, and the message should go to them now. The time will come when we cannot work so freely in the large cities, but now, the people will listen to the message, and this is our time to work most earnestly for the people in the centers of population. Many will hear and obey, and carry the message to others. The interest which began to be awakened by the camp meeting held 2 years ago in Brighton should be carried forward by a camp meeting in some part of Melbourne each year. When our brethren took these things into consideration, they decided that the meeting should be held in Melbourne, and in their search for a ground were led to locate in Armidale. The first plan was to locate the meeting at Northcote, where it would be convenient for our brethren and sisters. But the Lord hedged up the way at Northcote, and led them to a locality convenient to densely populated suburbs where the message had never been given. During the meeting we have had abundant evidence that the Lord has been guiding both in the location and in the work of the meeting. A new field has been opened, and an encouraging field it appears to be. The people did not swarm upon the ground from curiosity, as at our first meeting in Brighton, and as at Ashfield last year. The majority came straight to the large meeting tent, where they listened intently to the word, and when the meeting was over, they quietly returned to their homes, or gathered in groups to ask questions or discuss what they had heard. Sanitariums needed near every large city. For a long time, the Battle Creek Sanitarium was the only medical institution conducted by our people. But for many years light has been given that sanitariums should be established near every large city. Sanitariums should be established near such cities as Melbourne and Adelaide. And when opportunities come to establish the work in still other places, never are we to reach out the hand and say, "No, you must not create an interest in other places," for fear that our patronage will be decreased. Sydney, Australia. Work in cities will result in many souls saved. There is a work to do all over the world, and as we near the time of the end, the Lord will impress many minds to engage in this work. If you, Dr. Daniel H. Kress, are able to use your influence in setting in operation the work that needs to be done in Sydney, many souls will be saved who have never yet heard the truth. The cities are to be worked. The saving power of God is to go forth through them as a lamp that burneth. Experienced managers needed to guide and unify evangelistic efforts. There is now a more decided work to be done in Sydney and the vicinity. All the suburbs are in a better condition to be worked than at any former period, and the advantages now presented in doing medical missionary work need more calculation and experience brought into the management of the work. There are many branches that will grow out of the plant now made in Sydney, and every line of work needs experienced managers, that part may unite with part, making a harmonious whole. Why do sports events create more excitement than do promises of God? The world is full of excitement. Men act as though they had gone mad over low, cheap, unsatisfying things. How excited have I seen them over the result of a cricket match? I have seen the streets in Sydney densely crowded for blocks and, on inquiring what was the occasion of the excitement, was told that some expert player of cricket had won the game. I felt disgusted. Why are not the chosen of God more enthusiastic? They are striving for an immortal crown, striving for a home where there will be no need of the light of the sun or moon, or of lighted candle, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. They will have a life that measures with the life of God, but the candle of the wicked shall be put out in ignominious darkness, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. 1896. England. Work in England not to be neglected for other work elsewhere. It seems to me that the necessity of the work in England is a very important question to us in this country. We talk about China and other countries. Let us not forget the English-speaking countries, where, if the truth were presented, many would receive and practice it. England greatly neglected. There is a great work to be done in England. The light radiating from London should beam forth in clear, distinct rays to regions beyond. God has wrought in England, but this English-speaking world has been terribly neglected. England has needed many more laborers and much more means. London has been scarcely touched. My heart is deeply moved as the situation in that great city is presented before me. In the city of London alone no fewer than 100 men should be engaged. The Lord marks the neglect of His work, and there will be a heavy account to settle by and by. If the workers in America will impart to others of their great mercies, they will see prosperity in England. They will sympathize with the workers who are struggling with difficulties there, and will have the heart to say, not only in word but in action, "All ye are brethren." They will see a great work done in London, all through the cities of England, and throughout the different European countries. 1900. London, England. A great work to be done in London. London has been presented to me again and again as a place in which a great work is to be done, and I have tried to present this before our people. I spent 2 years in Europe, going over the field 3 times. And each time I went, I saw improvement in the work, and the last time a decided improvement was manifest. And oh, what a burning desire filled my heart to see this great field, London especially, worked as it should be. Why have not workers been sent there, men and women who could have planned for the advancement of the work? I have wondered why our people, those who are not ordained ministers, but who have a connection with God, who understand the Scriptures, do not open the Word to others. If they would engage in this work, great blessing would come to their own souls. God wants His people to work. To every man, and that means every woman, also, He has given His work, and this work each one is to perform according to his several ability. Army of workers needed to evangelize London. Let no one suppose that the work in London can be carried forward by one or two. This is not the right plan. While there must be those who can oversee the work, there is to be an army of workers striving to reach the different classes of people. House-to-house work must be done. This work we have done in Australia, and we have seen the salvation of God as this work has been carried forward. No timidity, the Lord's business requires haste. There is need of zeal in the church, and wisdom to manage that zeal. U.E.J. Wagoner, have made altogether too tame work of saving souls. If you would see a work done in London and the surrounding cities, you must have a united, irresistible force, press the battle to the gate, and plant the standard firmly, as if you meant that the truth should triumph. The timidity, the cautious movements, have been faithless, there has been little expectation of results. The fact that things move slowly in England is no reason why the great missionary work shall move slowly to meet men's habits and customs for fear of surprising the people. They need to be much more surprised than they have hitherto been. The Lord's business requires haste, souls are perishing without a knowledge of the truth. Germany. Hygienic restaurants and sanitariums needed. In foreign countries many enterprises that require means must yet be begun and carried forward. The opening of hygienic restaurants, The establishment of sanitariums for the care of the sick and suffering is just as necessary in Germany as in America. Let all do their best, making their boast in the Lord, and blessing others by their good works. German emigres urge to support school in Germany. My German brethren and sisters in America, this message is given to me for you. God has His faithful ones in Germany and in all the other countries where Germans have scattered. Consider how much good you might do, how many people you might help, by selling the German edition of Christ's Object Lessons, doing all you can by your labor and by your means to share in the expense of establishing and carrying forward the school work in Germany. Scandinavia. Outside support needed, but local members are to do their utmost. I appeal especially to our brethren in Scandinavia. Will you not take hold of the work which God has given you? Will you not labor to the utmost of your ability to relieve the embarrassed institutions in your field? Do not look on in despair, saying, "We can do nothing." Cease to talk discouragement. Take hold of the arm of infinite power. Remember that your brethren in other lands are uniting to give you help. Do not fail or be discouraged. The Lord will uphold His workers in Scandinavia if they will act their part in faith, in prayer, in hopefulness, doing all they can to advance His cause and hasten His coming. Let a most earnest effort be made by our people in England to inspire their brethren in Scandinavia with faith and courage. Brethren, we must come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Remember that the nearer we approach the time of Christ's coming, the more earnestly and firmly we are to work, for we are opposed by the whole synagogue of Satan. We do not need feverish excitement, but that courage which is born of genuine faith. 1900. Time has come to enlarge the work in Scandinavia. There is a work to be done in Scandinavia. God is just as willing to work through Scandinavian believers as through American believers. My brethren, bind up with the Lord God of hosts. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. The time has come for His work to be enlarged. Troublous times are before us, but if we stand together in Christian fellowship, none striving for supremacy, God will work mightily for us. 1904. There are more openings than workers to meet the needs. Sweden has as yet had but little labor, and the sound of the truth has reached but few ears, yet it is a good field, and earnest, persevering efforts should be made to extend the knowledge of the truth. Calls are coming in from Norway, Denmark, and Sweden for meetings to be held in the large cities, where a few have already been raised up. We look at these cities with pain that we have not more missionaries to send to them. The few who have received the truth in different places are left almost without help, when they should be visited often, and educated to become workers. The openings are many, but where are the laborers? In Sweden most of our brethren are poor, and as they look at appearances it seems impossible for them to do much to sustain and extend the work. But in the early days of the cause in America similar difficulties had to be met. Scandinavian countries are promising fields of labor. The condition of some of these churches had been presented to me in years past, with many things showing that Denmark, Norway, and Sweden were promising fields for labor. We knew that a great work lay before the missionaries in this field. 1886. Character of work judged by how it is presented to the public. In Örebro, Sweden, as well as in Copenhagen, Denmark, I am convinced that we might have had a good hearing if our brethren had secured a suitable hall to accommodate the people. But they did not expect much, and therefore did not receive much. We cannot expect people to come out to hear unpopular truth when the meetings are advertised to be held in a basement, or in a small hall that will seat only 100 persons. The character and importance of our work are judged by the efforts made to bring it before the public. When these efforts are so limited, the impression is given that the message we present is not worthy of notice. Thus by their lack of faith our laborers sometimes make the work very hard for themselves. 1886. Uneasy religion popular. We are told that the people of these countries will be pleased with our discourses if we dwell on the love of Jesus. Of this they never tire, but we are in danger of losing our congregations if we dwell on the sterner questions of duty and the law of God. There is a spurious experience prevailing everywhere. Many are continually saying, all that we have to do is to believe in Christ. They claim that faith is all we need. In its fullest sense, this is true, but they do not take it in the fullest sense. To believe in Jesus is to take Him as our Redeemer and our pattern. If we abide in Him and He abides in us, we are partakers of His divine nature, and are doers of His word. The love of Jesus in the heart will lead to obedience to all His commandments. But the love that goes no farther than the lips is a delusion; it will not save any soul. Many reject the truths of the Bible, while they profess great love for Jesus, but the Apostle John declares, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." While Jesus has done all in the way of merit, we ourselves have something to do in the way of complying with the conditions. "If ye love me," said our Savior, "keep my commandments." 1886. Copenhagen, Denmark. Honest-hearted souls despite the secular society surrounding them. Copenhagen seems like Athens in Paul's day. The pursuit of wealth and pleasure engrosses the attention of the people. Atheism is popular. Eating and drinking, dancing and merrymaking, are the subjects of thought and conversation. There are many large and beautiful churches, but the people, like some of the Athenians, are worshipping an unknown god. There is no lack of doctors of divinity, of learned preachers, but they are ignorant of Bible religion. It seems a difficult matter to awaken an interest in religious things in these large cities, and yet there are many honest souls in them who will yet accept the light and reflect its rays to others. Copenhagen is sending missionaries to convert the heathen in far-off lands, when there are multitudes of her people who are as truly ignorant of God and His Word. Men with the spirit of Paul are needed to preach Christ and Him crucified. 1886. The work beyond. Millions living in Africa and Asia still need to hear the gospel. In Africa, in China, in India, there are thousands, yes, millions, who have not heard the message of the truth for this time. They must be warned. The islands of the sea are waiting for a knowledge of God. In these islands, schools are to be established to prepare students to go to higher schools within reach, there to be educated and trained, and sent back to their island homes to give to others the light they have received. 1909. The whole world has an equal claim with us to God's mercy. The whole world is opening to the gospel. Ethiopia is stretching out her hands unto God. From Japan and China and India, from the still darkened lands of our own continent, from every quarter of this world of ours, comes the cry of sin-stricken hearts for a knowledge of the God of love. Millions upon millions have never so much as heard of God or of His love revealed in Christ. It is their right to receive this knowledge. They have an equal claim with us in the Savior's mercy. And it rests with us who have received the knowledge, with our children to whom we may impart it, to answer their cry. 1903. Despite the odds and difficulties, the world still must be warned. There is in every city and every suburb a work to be done in presenting the last message of mercy to a fallen world. And while we are trying to work these destitute fields, the cry comes from far-off lands, "Come over and help us." These are not so easily reached, and perhaps not so ready for the harvest, as the fields within our sight, but they must not be neglected. We want to push the triumphs of the cross. Our watchword is to be, onward, ever onward. Our burden for the regions beyond can never be laid down until the whole earth shall be lightened with the glory of the Lord.